Hey everyone, welcome back to the Banana Thumbnail Podcast, where we bring thumbnails to life to crush the competition. I'm Alex, your go-to for all things AI image generation. And I'm Jordan, your curious co-host. Today we've got something super interesting lined up. We're diving into the five big mistakes people make with Gemini, cinematic glow in their portraits. That's right. A lot of folks think adding cinematic glow to their prompts will instantly make their images look like movie posters. But let me tell you, it's not that simple. Oh, I can totally see that. I mean, I've definitely seen portraits that look, well, more like plastic dolls under a heat lamp. What's the deal there? Exactly, when you ask. Gemini, for that cinematic glow, it's supposed to enhance contrast, soften highlights, and usually add a color grade. Think teal and orange or warm gold. But without specific instructions, Gemini just takes a wild guess. So it's like asking a chef to whip up a gourmet meal, but not telling them what ingredients you have? Right. You end up with something that can wash out details instead of enhancing them. If you don't guide Gemini, the glow bleeds into the shadows, making skin look unnaturally smooth and the eyes, well, kind of alien. Yikes. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. So what can people do to avoid these issues? Alex, first off, it's crucial to understand what Gemini is doing with that glow. You've got to provide boundaries. If not, you might as well be slapping a fresh coat of paint on a rusty car. Ouch. But it makes sense. If you want a realistic portrait, you've got to keep those human details intact, right? Exactly. If you notice waxy skin or those overly perfect teeth, you're likely dealing with overprocessing. When the AI tries to dramatize the lighting, it smooths out all the texture that makes real skin engaging. That reminds me of my last selfie. I added a filter that smoothed my skin way too much. I looked more like a cartoon than a human. Yeah, it's a common pitfall. Pro tip, always include terms like skin texture, pores, and hyper-realistic in your positive prompts, and use negative prompts like airbrushed or plastic. So it's like teaching Gemini how to balance the glow with actual human features. Makes sense. Exactly. And speaking of balance, let's chat about prompts. A lot of people just type cinematic lighting and hope for the best. That's a mistake. You need to be the director of photography here. Oh, I can see how that would be important. Like instead of just saying, make it look cool, you need to specify what cool means. You got it. Use specific photography terms. Instead of just glow, try backlighting or Rembrandt lighting. This tells Gemini exactly where to place shadows, which is key for making that glow pop. Interesting. So it's almost like giving it a blueprint to follow? Yes, and the results improve drastically if you specify a camera lens, like saying shot on 35mm. It helps ground that cinematic glow in reality. I never would have thought about that. But what about backgrounds? Are they affected too? Oh, definitely. When you crank up that cinematic glow, Gemini sometimes hallucinates strange details in the background. I've seen holiday portraits where the Christmas lights turn into floating orbs. Oh no, that sounds like a sci-fi movie gone wrong. So how do you avoid that? Alex, separate your subject from the background in your prompt. Describe the subject first. Then clarify the background with terms like dark or out of focus. This keeps the glow where it belongs, on the subject. Got it. But what if someone is using Gemini versus other tools? How does it stack up? Good question. Gemini is a generalist and can struggle with creating truly stunning portraits compared to something like Nano Banana Pro, which is designed specifically for visual impact. Ah, so it's like using a Swiss Army knife versus a high-quality chef's knife. Exactly. Nano Banana Pro understands contrast ratios better and considers how actual light behaves rather than just slapping on a filter. Plus, it offers a variety of professional lighting options, giving you way more control. Wow, I can see why you'd want to use that for creating eye-catching thumbnails. Yes. And let's talk about the end goal. Why are we making these portraits in the first place? Usually it's for thumbnails or profile pictures. Right. So if they're too dark and moody, they're going to look terrible on a small screen. Exactly. Curtis, our founder, always mentions the squint test. If you squint at your image and can't discern the emotion, the lighting isn't doing its job. That's a game changer. Eye contact is crucial for engagement, so if the glow hides the eyes, that's a major click-through rate killer. You've hit the nail on the head. So if listeners are noticing low engagement or comments questioning if the image is AI-generated, it might be time to adjust their approach. So, to recap, be specific with prompts, keep skin texture, and always make sure the eyes are visible. Exactly. That should help clear up a lot of those common mistakes. Thanks for the insights today, Alex. No problem. It was a pleasure. That's a wrap for this episode of the Banana Thumbnail Podcast. For listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.